Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412. Conquering fear. Fear is what keeps us from all that God intended in our life. Fear is the antithesis of what God intended for our life. So we got to understand this idea of fear, because it has the power to keep you from what God created you to be. That's why it comes. That's why he says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We need to understand this idea of fear. So we've been talking about discovering our gifts, and we're going to talk about that for the next few weeks as well, because every one of us has a gift. Everybody in here, you were born with a gift, and that gift is developed in the body of Christ. Now, it says in Romans 11:29, the gifts and callings of God are what? They're irrevocable. Irrevocable, that means they can't change. And you are born with a gift. A lot of times when we're miserable and we're depressed, it's because we're not in our calling and we're not using our gift. We're ignorant of it. So that's why we got to understand, because really, when you begin to understand who you are, it changes things. There's fulfillment in it. And fear comes to stop that, to abort that gift. What's it say? It says in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, to each one has been given a gift. Steward it and minister it to one another. So we're to steward our gift and minister it to one another. Minister means serve. That's when we're serving our gift, that's what we're to do. Our lives are to be doing. We're to serve people out of our gift, humanity, out of our gift. That's what we're created for. And so that's what advances God's kingdom. And that's why you're here. That's the only reason you're breathing, is to advance God's kingdom, not yours. And that's what we have to understand. And when we understand that, it changes things. And so we are all called. There's a calling on our life. In Ephesians 4, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, to have a walk worthy of your calling, to with which you were called. Then he says, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, for there's one Spirit and one body, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. So we all have this calling, and we steward that gift, and we develop that gift in the body of Christ. That's why you can't just go off and do your own thing. That's why the enemy will do anything he can to get you hurt in church, to keep you away from the developing of that gift and that calling. God will allow difficult people in your life, in the body, to rub you the wrong way. But God is using that to develop you and your gift. He wants to rub them rough places smooth and the crooked places straight in your life. And that happens in the body. That's why it says, have a walk worthy of your calling in all lowliness. Humility. That's what that means. In other words, the more influence you have and the more your gift is being used, you're going to have to be more humble. There's going to have to be more humility in your life. And that's developed in the body. With all gentleness. The word gentleness means the ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. God wants you to keep loving people and have you have lovability in you. In other words, I have lovability coming out of me. I have the ability to love you when you're mistreating me or you're talking behind my back, or you're doing whatever you got to do. I have the lovability to keep loving you. That's what he wants to develop. Because he wants that gift, remember? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, it profits me what? Nothing. Nothing. Zero. If it's all motivated by the love of God and developed in the love of God, then it has influence and power and it's advancing the kingdom of God. So that's important for us to know. Bearing with one another in love. See, that's how we're stewarding this gift. We're developing it. Now, this is what it says in Ephesians 4:16. It says, I'm doing a quick recap. It says that every joint, which with every joint supplies, every part doing its share in effective working, that you may grow up in him. Every joint supplies. You know what the joint is, represents? Relationships in the body. In other words, there's relationships in the body of Christ that you need for your supply to help you to grow and mature and to become everything God created you to be. It's in the body. That's why we can't just go off and do our own thing. We got to stay connected somewhere. Or you're not becoming who you were created to be. You see that? It happens in the body. When we understand that, man, it changes things. So we're going to talk about a sound mind today. Go with me to 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Paul is admonishing Timothy. He says, I remind you to stir up your gift. So he had to keep telling Timothy about his gift. And we all have a gift, every one of us. And folks, when we understand this, that's where life is. That's where fulfillment is when you are in that. And you're using that gift and you're answering that effectual call. The general call is when you heard the gospel and you received Christ and you became a Christian. That's the general call. Remember, it says we always give thanks because God from the beginning chose us for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which you were called by our gospel. See, when you heard the gospel, you answered that call and you received Christ and you became a Christian. So what happens is, remember I told you my dad got hurt in a church and he pulled away from a church and he went off and got into all these different things, but he never answered that effectual call in his life. And so that happens in a lot of people's lives. They just go through their motions or they just go to church and they do the religious thing, but they're really not in a church where the word of God is going forth and calling you to that effectual call in your life. Am I making sense? So that's why it's so important that we're in a Bible-believing church, a word church, because where the word goes forth, it's calling you into that call, that effectual call. And then there's a development that takes place in the body. So God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but what? A power. What's power? Power is authority. We need authority in our life. We need spiritual authority in our life. If we don't have any authority, folks, then what's the antithesis of that? Is powerlessness. There's no power in your life. You see, there's no power to advance anything. So we need power. We need authority. Not over people, not to control people, but over circumstances and over territory. God wants you to have power and authority and over spiritual things in your life. When you have power, your children are going to listen to you. They're not going to rebel. They listen to what you say because you have power. You have authority. They just receive it. They obey it. We need power in our life. Love. What's love? Remember? Everything hinges on love, right? Though I speak with the tongue, I have not loved nothing. Now we're talking about the sound mind. Now, I want to read this to you. While I was off, I was doing some studying one morning and just thought, you know, identity crisis. So I looked it up. There's like an identity crisis within the church, in the nation, you know, all over. And, you know, it's just, I see it. And this is what identity crisis means. This is what Webster says about an identity crisis. Distress and disorientation resulting from conflicting pressure and uncertainty, especially in adolescence, about oneself and one's role in society. You see that? That's what an identity crisis is. I'm going to read that again. Distress and disorientation resulting from conflicting pressures and uncertainty, especially in adolescence, about one's self and one's role in society. Folks, that's what the effectual call does, and that's what your gift does. It shows you who you are and what you are called to do and why you are here. It reveals the real you. You become the authentic you. You become the original. You see, when you know who you are, you're not going to be jealous all the time. You're not going to be attacking people and judgmental, because you're secure in who you are. You know who you are because you're an original. You see, when you're becoming what God originally created you to be, you're an original. Nobody can be you. And you don't have to imitate anybody else. You're you. That's what we need. We need the best you got. Am I making sense? That's what the world needs. You. And when you're you, hey, life is good. Life is good when you understand who you are. It changes things. That's a sound mind. When you discover who you are, that's a sound mind. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we have the mind of Christ. That's what God wants us to live out of. That's the sound mind he's talking about. Now, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So now think about this. The word sound in the Greek is the word sozo, and that also means saved. So power, love, and a saved mind. A saved mind. We need a saved mind. Anybody ever feel like you're just like, man, what is going on? A saved mind. Remember the word mind? In the Greek, it's the word phren. P-H-R-E-N. That's where we get schizophrenic. Remember, I grew up in a household. My mom was a schizophrenic and put into an institution when I was a child, all the way up until when I was in high school. And I had a fear that that was going to happen to me. That's a very real fear. But you know what? It's gone. No more fear. You see? Because I'm becoming me. I'm understanding who I am in Christ. Those fears leave when you begin to see who you are and understand who you are. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Remember, I had a fear of rejection because she wasn't able to nurture and do all that. There's a fear of rejection there. When you have a fear of rejection, people reject you. Then I find out when I become a believer, that's part of the curriculum. People rejecting you. That's the very thing. The Bible says that Jesus was the chief cornerstone, the very stone that the builders rejected. And that's what the church is built on. What rejection, actually, when you understand that, when rejection comes, it has no power to take you out. See, when you understand that he took on all the rejection, now the rejection that happens to you and you're in Christ, you can rise above it. It doesn't have the power to take you out. Because I'm telling you what, if you don't have a sound mind, that has the power to take you out. When somebody betrays you, somebody you think that's in this with, for life, they walk away, you better have a sound mind. Am I making sense? You better have a sound mind. When the doctor's report comes and you get this report on you've got this illness and whatever, you better have a sound mind. When a financial destruction happens, bankrupt, whatever, you need a sound mind. Because we don't know what's around the corner, but a sound mind is going to get you through. And that's the mind of Christ. And fear comes to keep you from that. The enemy comes to make you think you're not going to make it. And that's fear. But when you understand, a sound mind will get you through. Now, the enemy is not after you. He is after your gift. And all that you have gone through in life is coming to try to stop that gift, to keep that gift from manifesting. Because Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. In 1 John 3:8, it says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. When you are in your gifting and you are in your calling, you are destroying the works of the devil and you are advancing God's kingdom. Folks, listen to me. When you begin to understand who you are, you don't have to hide things anymore. It's no more this self-preservation. You know, if you were sexually abused as a child, or, you know, verbally abused, or you were a divorce, or you were an orphan, or whatever happened in your life, or you were in prostitution, or you were a drug, all that, you don't have to hide that anymore when you're becoming you. Fear wants to keep that hidden. And that works in keeping you from becoming you. That's how fear works. Am I talking to the right people? You see, that's why Adam and Eve, it says they were naked and afraid and they hid themselves when they disobeyed God. See, when you discover who you are, you no longer have anything to hide. You just get out there because you're trusting Jesus. You're not trying to protect yourself all the time and hide from something and cover yourself all the time. You trust Him and He's making it happen in your life. Now, God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? But now look here. All that, whatever, God chose you before the foundation of the world. Before you showed up on the planet, God had a plan for your life. And He knew you, the Bible says. When you were born, you're not just a product of your parents. You're a product of God. You're a product of God. You're not a product of your parents. And so everything that has happened to you, actually, when you understand what we're talking about today, all things, how many things? All things work together for what? For the good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. See, there it is. If you love God, you're answering that call. You're going to be in the body. His word is going forth, and you're answering that call according to His purpose. You see that? Because you love God. Come on now, am I making sense? In 1 John 2:5, it says, "But whoever keeps my word, truly the love of God is being perfected in him." In 1 John 4:18, it says that perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. You see, when you love God, you love His word, and you want to get under it, and you want to receive, and you want to answer that call, and distribute your gift, and live out your gift and your calling in this life. And it's effective, and it's fulfilling. Am I making sense? This is huge. Get a hold of this. He says He's called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10. He's called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, where once you were not a people of God, but now you've become a people of God. And where once you did not obtain mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Get a hold of this. God has called you out of darkness. How's He do that? The Bible says in Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leads men to repentance. In other words, if you're answering that call, you're going to God. Something happens in your life, you're going to God. You've done something, you're going to God. It's His goodness that leads you to repentance. The word repentance means change your mind. Change the way you think. In other words, you go to God, He shows you your ugliness. That's why a lot of people keep hiding. They don't want to go to God because He's showing them something that they think that, but God really is good, and He's going to help you in that and use that for His good. You see, when you understand that, you can keep going to Him, and you begin to see how good He is. And you want to change your mind. You don't have to have somebody telling you to renew you. You want to change your mind because you understand how good He is and how raunchy and rank you can be and where you came from. That's why He said He called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He called you out of that mess to walk in the light. You see, you no longer have anything to hide. And where once you did not obtain mercy, you didn't have any mercy. You had no mercy for yourself, no mercy for anybody else. There was no mercy. But now you have obtained mercy. That word obtained means acquired. I've acquired mercy in my life. Now I have mercy for other people because I know how wretched and how raunchy I can be and what I came out of. Am I making sense? Come on. Am I making sense? And so now I'm not going to judge people and I'm not going to criticize them and point out all their flaws because I know where I came from. I'm going to extend some mercy here. You see that? Now here's the idea. Now, because you extend mercy, people are going to accuse you of being a doormat. People are going to accuse you of being walked on all the time. But you're not. You're just extending mercy. Amen. You see, that's what David did. David extended mercy. When he had every right to kill Saul, in the laws of those days, he could have killed him and got away with it. Because Saul was out to kill David. He was in the cave, he could have killed him. David didn't kill him. David cut a little piece of his robe and didn't touch him. And David felt bad about cutting that piece of that robe. The Bible says he extended mercy. You see that? He didn't take matters in his own hands. He continued to trust God because he knew how good God was. David said in Psalms 27, I would have lost heart unless I could see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see that? Because David always went back to God. That's why David did all that foolishness, but he's still remembered, and he's still a great leader, and we still talk about him all the time today. Effectual call. Influence. You see this? Because of mercy. I want to be a person of mercy. How about you? The Bible says mercy triumphs over judgment. Over judgment. James chapter 2. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And when you know where you've come from, you're going to have some mercy. Has anybody ever been at a crossroads in life and you just think, man, I could mess this up. I could mess this up. You're at this juncture where if you go this way, man, I could just mess my family. I could mess this all up. Has anybody ever been at that juncture? You ever been tempted? That's when we need a sound mind. We need a sound mind to make right decisions. You see this? What's a sound mind look like? Here's a sound mind. Fulfill my joy, he says, by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than himself. Let each of you not only look out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a sound mind. A sound mind is concerned with God and others. You see, and a sound mind loves his neighbor as he loves himself. You see, that's why when you're betrayed or someone hating on you, they're drinking Haterade and they're coming against you. You see what I mean? They're doing all these things to come at you. You can look at them and say, everything's going to be all right. You can hate me. You can betray me. You can do what you want to me because I love me. I've already made up my mind. I know God loves me and I know I love me and I'm accepted in the beloved. Amen. Are you with me? That's security right there. That's security right there. That's a sound mind. We're not even wrapped up in what people are talking about, right? Because we have a sound mind. The mind of Christ. What's that look like? Romans 8:6 says, the carnal mind brings forth death, but the spiritual mind brings forth life. Life and peace. The carnal mind is the physical mind. In other words, I'm always focused on the physical. If you're always focused on the physical, the circumstances, the media, and all that, everything is going on all around you, then you're going to be in the carnal mind, and it's going to produce death. The word death means separation from God. But the spiritual mind brings life and peace. How do you have a spiritual mind? Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are life and they're spirit. When you are focused on his word and what he's saying to you, you're going to have life and you're going to be in the spirit. It says the flesh profits nothing, but my words, they are spirit and they are life. The word life is Zoe. It's the Greek word Zoe. It means the God kind of life, the life God called and created you for. Did you catch that? You see, here's what happens. In James, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God in faith. But he says, if anyone asks doubting, he is like a wave of the sea that is tossed to and fro. He is unstable in all his ways. He is double-minded. You see, that's what double-mindedness is. I'm always focused out here. I'm not even confronting Christ in me. I'm not even concerned with the mind. That's double-minded. That's why you feel tossed. That's why you're always going back and forth. But when you understand and you live out of the mind of Christ, that's single-mindedness. You see that? That's becoming single-minded. Now you're becoming stable. Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah 33, verse 6, it says, wisdom and knowledge is your stability in these times. How do you get wisdom? You go to God. You go to God. And that's what's going to keep you stable. Because we don't know what's coming. Am I making sense? That's what keeps you stable. Folks, I'm excited. Are you excited? These are some good days we're living in. When we tap into all that God has for us, folks, there is a fulfillment that nothing else compares to. Nothing else compares to it. But you know what? It's a process. And it happens in the body. Listen, folks. Fear, we got to get it out of our life. I remember reading about a circus elephant. And circus elephants, when they get them when they're young, they'll tie a rope around their neck, and they take a 2-foot stake, and they drive it in the ground, and that elephant is raised next to that tent with that stake in the ground, that rope around its neck. But now when it gets full grown, it won't budge. It's tied to that stake. It will starve to death by that little rope and that little stake. It's a 2-ton animal. It has all the power to whip its neck and get out of that circumstance. Are you with me? Some of us have mindsets. Mindsets that we were raised in cultures that God's word had nothing to do with. And we're like that elephant. A little tension is put on us, we give up. Folks, listen to me. Discouragement is an enemy of your soul. Discouragement is an enemy of your soul. When you are discouraged, you need to call somebody. You need to do something. Because listen, discouragement, discourage, it's taking away your courage. You see, fear comes to get you to be afraid, to draw back. Now listen, Joshua said this. Joshua said this in Joshua 1:7-8. He said, only be strong and courageous. And very courageous, he said. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do all that is written in the law. The word of God. You see that? God says you got to be strong and courageous if you're going to do what I've called you to do and I'm calling you to do. Only be strong and courageous, not discouraged. There's no place for discouragement in our life. We need to treat discouragement like a plague. We cannot get discouraged. You see, that's why when we're in the body, discouragement comes off of us. Folks, that's a revelation right there. Joshua possessed all that God had for him. He fulfilled his effectual call because he was strong. Now watch this. Then he says, this book of the law, you shall meditate in it day and night. And you shall observe to do all that is written therein. Then you will find good success, and then you will prosper. Come on, am I making sense? Meditate. Well, I can't meditate in the word while I'm at work. Yes, you can. Remember, you meditate on your problems and all your worries. But we need to start meditating on the things of God. Amen? So we can fulfill this call God has on our life. Am I talking to the right people this morning? I want everybody to raise your hands up. Just say, Father God, I know that I have not received the spirit of fear, but I have received the spirit of adoption, whereby I can cry, Abba, Father. For your spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And I thank you for that. There is no fear here. In the name of Jesus, I have a sound mind. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me.
Been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Row Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellrowchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.